gorgeous entrepreneurs on Radio Gorgeous.
So bright she can burn your eyes. Better look the other way. You can try, but you'll never forget her name. She's on top of the world. Hottest of the hottest girls. Say, oh, we got our feet on the...
Radio Gorgeous. Listen anywhere, anytime.
I'm here in Lisa C's open plan offices of her brand and design agency. So if the phone rings or you can hear some office banter, you'll be able to tell that we're in an exciting office environment. Lisa runs multiple businesses and is known worldwide for her creativity, contacts and charity work. Her three businesses are the brand and design agency Lisa C, Opus Art, which supplies digital art for the entertainment industry. You founded the Sorority, a society with members from all around the world. What was the inspiration for you to create this club?
I get asked this question quite frequently, and it comes back down to the fact, really, that I started my first business when I was very young, when I was 26, and I had no experience, and I had no mentors, I had no comrades to speak to, and I felt quite isolated, but I just got on with it. But during that process, I met a lot of amazing women along the way. So through the brand agency, we work with a lot of female CEOs, directors, business owners. I mean, they used to come to my office and really share their experiences with me, the troubles they have with their business, the challenges they have, their aspirations, as well as what's going on at home with the family. And then it became very clear that there were synchronicities amongst them that they weren't aware of. So, for example, I found a tendency for women to be particularly critical of themselves, particularly if they're running a business or in their career, whether they think they should be doing more, whether they're letting down their team or themselves. Mm-hmm. When they do well, they don't tend to assign credit to themselves and give themselves a pat on the back. So I think we're quite bad at doing that. And really that some of the challenges we face, we don't want to acknowledge that we might be struggling or that we want to ask for help because it might be seen as a sign of weakness. So I thought it was really important there was a way that we could start sharing that experience, that knowledge, and be able to support one another. So contrastingly, when we were with our friends, if they're having a bad time and they come to us with a problem, we're the first person to say, no, actually, you're fantastic, you're amazing,
yes,
you'll be
very
fine.
Typical.
But we don't do it for ourselves. So actually, in a collegiate environment, women tend to thrive better. So it started off by just introducing colleagues and friends and clients amongst each other, because I knew people who might have gone through the same experience or had a similar problem, and
yes,
saying, well, actually, if you speak to this lady, she might be able to impart some knowledge and it might help you on your way. And it doesn't cost anybody any real time or effort, and it's just something that will help each person become more successful. So that's how it started, and that's the spirit behind it.
But I have heard that society is quite selective and hard to join. Is this the case?
Well, we are based on referral only and by invitation, and that's largely because there's a certain spirit behind the club and an energy. We're not about how much money you make or about the status that you have, certainly not about fame. We want to look at the individual, the journey of the woman itself. And that was really important to us from the very beginning, because we feel there's a lot in society to make you feel like you're marginalised or not successful or even putting you down in what your own achievements are. And I think through the experiences I've had, through the many diverse women that I've met, that achievement comes in many different forms and success comes in different forms. And the important thing is that we set our own agenda and our own goals in our life. And for every woman, that's very, very different. So we tend to look at the big picture. And really, it's about the energy and the spirit that if we want people who want to make a difference, who want to support each other as well as themselves.
RadioGorgeous.com.
Tell me more about the people who are the members. What are their backgrounds? You said CEOs.
We have everything from company directors from the corporate industry like finance or law, from the entertainment industry, from Hollywood film producers to writers, to choreographers, directors, TV presenters, politicians, ambassadors, and we have some royalty as well.
Yes, and how often do you meet up then?
Well, we have two dinners a year that we schedule for all of our members, but throughout the year we have events that are hosted by our members.
And if the members want to keep in touch with each other, do you have private groups, or, you know, or do you just, does everybody have their business cards? How do they keep mentoring each other?
Well, the society is set up very much on the model of my own experience, because we have a lot of networking clubs already available in London, and also online networks. But I find that these are either punctuated with events that you have to attend on a regular basis, or they're based on a certain protocol where you go into a room, you have a drink, and you end up handing out lots of business cards. Mm-hmm. And I think that's fine for certain environments, but it's derived from a very corporate and male background, and it's not the way women connect, it's not the way we tend to bond or talk. We like to build relationships and get to know the people that we work with. I really had to look inside myself and think, when I was 26, what would have benefited me? What would I have wanted from an amazing society? And that is quality connect, not just a stack of business cards, hundreds of business cards from one evening that you're never going to speak to again. You want people that are actually going to make a difference to the work, that influential people that can open doors. You can meet, you know, 50 people that do nothing for you and don't really have any influence, but it can take one key connection that can make transform your entire career or your business. And we're not talking just professionally, but also it could be emotionally or something that they've been through. And that's really what the spirit of the club is about, and providing that. And we do that by providing introductions. We have an online community so that everybody can connect with each other.
Yeah.
It's not based on regular events, because we don't want women to feel they have to commit to regular events.
And I guess also, as it's international, you have clubs from all around, people from all around the world, so they can't always come, I guess.
Yes, precisely. But we always have time to have meetings and coffees and lunches that we schedule with people all the time as a regular part of our lives. So that's the basis of the club, that we invite people to introduce themselves and set up their own meetings at their own convenience. So that's the way the club is raised. But we have events that are there as a more of a social gathering to help introduce people on a larger scale when required.
And a bit of a tongue-in-cheek question. So do the members have to do an initiation ceremony, given it's a sorority club?
Well, you'll have to join and find out, Amanda.
Right, Radio Gorgeous, I'll be letting you know what I get asked to do when I join the first dinner.
Follow us on Twitter, Radio_Gorgeous. Lots of love, darlings. Mwah.
So, Lisa, in 2005, you set up your brand and design agency, and you cover a wide range of sectors, from fashion, lifestyle, hospitality, technology, arts and entertainment, and charities. Clients include Royal Albert Hall, China Tang at the Dorchester, 100 Leading Ladies, the Roehampton Club, Sarah Duchess of York, One Authentic Property Company, to name a few, as well as my old mentor, Doug Richard, for School for Startups.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's great, isn't he? But the client I'd most love to ask you about is Sarah Ferguson. You're her creative consultant and brand designer. Can you tell me a bit about what that role involves?
Well, it was such an honour and a privilege to meet with the Duchess and to help oversee some of the work that she's doing. She's a wonderful inspiration to me. I think she has done some tremendous work in the children's sector, in books and animation and writing, as well as the charity work, which is something that people actually are not very aware of, but it's incredibly inspiring, and part of the work that we're doing is to help focus on that.
So, you know, how often do you personally, now that you've been running this agency for about, is it 10 years now?
Yes, almost 10 years.
Yes, 10 years. Yes, how often do you personally get to draw out new concepts for brands, or does your team do the work and you oversee it?
Well, no, absolutely. So part of the desire of being an entrepreneur and setting my own business was that I wanted to have the freedom to pursue the tasks that I wanted. And whilst I fell in love with business, I also, at the heart, am always going to be a creative.
Brilliant.
And I'm passionate about creativity, design and art, communication, and the value it has to business, which is why I set up the agency, because in the culture I grew up with, and even at the university, there's not a monetary or commercial value often placed on creative arts. It's often seen as something fluffy and can be dismissed.
Yes.
And it's really important to me that nowadays, when brand is so important, it's actually become very, very popular and evident that actually creativity and innovation distinguishes companies from each other and can set you apart from your competitors.
Brilliant. I used to watch The Pitch. Did you watch that? Oh, it's fantastic. When these companies would pitch against each other in America, and have brand agencies, and I used to love watching that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, need to look for it. I think it was on Sky Atlantic. And you wrote a white paper entitled As Long As It's Not Pink, talking about how brands creatively connect with women. Do you hate seeing yet another pink logo appearing on our supermarket shelves?
Yes, unfortunately, it's a stereotype that's been around for decades. And I actually had done some work for some telecom companies about 10 years ago about predicting women using handsets, because actually they were purchasing more and more, spending more on their mobile phones. And actually there was nothing on the market available that was offered to us apart from something that was pink or had butterflies on it or had crystals on it. And actually, you know, it was such a narrow view of what the female consumer wants. And for me, there's a lot of work still yet to be done there. But in the last 5 years particularly, there's been such a rise in the female economy is being recognised, and that the spending power falling within women in the household. So I think we're going to definitely see a change and shift towards that, which is also why the sorority has become so popular too.
Is there a brand that you'd actually love to get your hands on? Like a big name, you just thought, do you know what? I think that red dot is, you know, should be green or...
Well, there's one brand that I love, but I think could be more done to it, which is Porsche Design. So Porsche launched a division specialising in design products that was largely sports and performance focused, traditionally aimed at men, but more recently they actually started targeting women too, and they've created a women's line, but it's still very, very masculine. And the reason why I love it is because it teams my background and passion for design and technology, but delivering that to women in a very modern way. What I love about them is that they don't do pink, but at the same time it's still not quite, in my view, balanced enough. It's still very masculine, and I think there's a tremendous opportunity there to position them as a leading pioneer for women in technology and performance. And stuff.
You can rely on Radio Gorgeous.
Now, tell us about your crocodile skin bags. It's such a great concept. Did anybody think they were really real?
No, we actually get lots of comments about the bag. More popular than what's inside them, actually, normally.
Yes.
We have these beautiful bags made that were designed by the studio for the sorority that have the trompe d'oeil alligator skin design on them. And that's, again, partly a strategic brand design we did because lots of networking clubs, and I hate using that term, but it's what, you know, people refer to it as, they're very corporate or they're very dull or they're not very inspiring. And we wanted to take metaphors and experience from the luxury goods sector, which is what sophisticated women are familiar with, and to translate that and bring that into the club's communications, so that when you go into the sorority, you are experiencing a luxury brand as you would if you were shopping in Chanel.
And was the bag, because I haven't seen it, was it a matte bag or was it shiny?
Shall I get you one?
Oh, yes, I can see. I'm going to see what it really is like, crocodile skin. Here we are. Oh, look at that. Beautiful. Spot UV for the sorority on it.
You know your printing.
I know your printing. Lovely.
Well, no, they were tremendously popular, and we often get requests for additional bags.
Really?
Because people lose them at home and they say they use them, but they're very popular.
In your charity work, because we've mentioned you do lots of charity work as well, you've worked closely with Alicia Keys' Keep a Child Alive charity. What was your involvement there?
Well, we have. That's quite a funny story, because they actually approached us when I was literally just given birth. I was in the hospital on my BlackBerry, as you do.
What?
As you
You're
do.
So techie.
And I got a wonderful email from Alicia's charity, and inviting me to meet their team, because they'd found the sorority and wanted to explore collaboration.
Wow.
So they were coming in from the US, and were only in London for a couple of weeks, so I had to go. So I literally took my newborn.
Oh, lovely.
And met them in my office. And again, it was a testimony to women, because they were all women.
Yeah.
And we put my son in the middle of the meeting table.
They swooned over your newborn
Absolutely.
Baby.
And we just got on with it. We talked, but we also cooed whilst we did it. it was fantastic. But I met this amazing lady called Lee Blake, and she is the driving force and energy behind it. She co-founded the charity with Alicia, and she has become a sorority member. And she's a force of nature who is really dedicated to eradicating AIDS in her lifetime as a mission. And I've never met anyone more driven and more passionate. So we were exploring the ways that all of our women and their influences and their connections could come together to support the charitable work now and in the future. And they very kindly organised a dinner, which Alicia came to in London, to meet some of our members.
RadioGorgeous.com.
So they say, I don't know whether you know this, but at the age of 7, whatever your favourite hobbies are, or what you spend most of the time play acting, you eventually end up doing. Is this the same for you? I mean, when you were a kid, were you looking at cereal packs and thinking that you could better the Kellogg's logo and submitting designs to Art Attack? Or were you the most popular kid in class, finally honing your networking skills, which would see you recognised by Coutts Women as one of the UK's most well-connected women? Or were you both? Or neither? What happened? Because you have been laughing while I've been asking that question. I wonder why.
It's only because I think I tend to look forward and I don't tend to look back. So sometimes when this question comes up, you're one of the very few people who've made me think about it. And it's like a self-realisation when, yes, at that age, there was entrepreneurial spirit. I was a very shy and quiet child, so I certainly wasn't a networker at all. I like to get on with my work and stay in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
But I was very creative, and I recall vividly around the age of 7, this was in the 80s, and My Little Pony was very, very popular. Every little girl had a My Little Pony, and they collected them. And I, for fun, drew a portrait of my My Little Pony and took it to school to show them, this is my drawing of my pony. And everyone loved it, and they all wanted a picture of their own pony.
Oh.
So I charged them 50 pence per portrait and
Brilliant.
Made about £5. Which in those days was an enormous amount of money and a lot of sweets.
So that is true. I love that story. That is fantastic.
But if anyone still has those portraits, I'd like one back.
Oh, gosh, I won't ever be worth millions now. Wow, that's such a great story. I love it. My daughter is currently, she's got a microphone and she currently keeps interviewing people. So I think maybe she might be a journalist. You never know.
That's a good sign.
We hope. So you're from Devon, of Chinese descent. Were your parents immigrants? And if so, when did they come to the UK?
Yes, they. My entire family originate from Hong Kong, and they all came to England in the 60s, I believe.
Yeah.
And I was born and bred in Plymouth, in Devon, and I'm a very proud Devonian.
Yes, and do you go back down to Devon much?
Yes, very frequently.
Yeah.
All my family are still down there. It very much still feels like home. We actively feel the air when you breathe it. It's completely different
clean.
To New England, and
yes.
It's sweet almost, the sea air. And there's something very homey about it, and the people down there are very warm, and it's relaxed, and it's completely different from London. So I think, you know, I love both cities very much.
Mm. So, Lisa, what are you most proud of in your career?
If I had to really think about it, I think it's working with people who want to achieve something and make a difference in their lives. So whether they're setting up a business to help their home life, or they're having children, or they want to build a dream with their partner, that if we can help them build that and help them realise success in their business and their brand and help them grow a company and see the difference it makes to their lives, that's incredibly rewarding, and that's what we do all the time.
Brilliant. So, and do you do mentoring, or is this really through the sorority that you're saying this?
No, for the brand agency, we work with a lot of business owners, a lot of people who have quit their jobs, or wanting to do something for themselves, becoming disillusioned with the corporate sector. But because I've walked that path, they do come to us because they know that it's coming from experience, and it's not just another contract or just another job.
Yes.
It's actually something that makes a huge difference
to
their life, and I appreciate that more than anybody else. So I love doing that for people.
Great. And what's your next project? Anything, you know, for the huge projects in the pipeline? We're not allowed to mention them yet.
We have some very exciting projects in the pipeline that might involve events, some charity work, and possibly some television.
Oh, right. I'm going to, again, watch this space. Thank you so much for coming on to Radio Gorgeous. It's been brilliant interviewing you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Amanda. It's been a pleasure.
My weekday fix? Darling, it has to be Radio Gorgeous.
So bright she can burn your eyes. she's just a girl, but she's on fire.